Hey church, so good to have you with us. And it's amazing. If you're here for the first time, I want to say a huge welcome. Make sure you comment in the chat. Let us know you're around. You've joined us on Father's Day, and we are super excited that you would be here with us, Audacious Church. Right here in the building in central Manchester, we've got a small team, media team, production team. Why don't you send some emojis up to our team right here, making things happen. So good. Well, we started a series last week called Unshakable. Pastor Glenn kicked off, and we were talking about the character of God, the names of God. And the name we heard about last week is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. And wherever you are today, we want you to know that God is there. God is with you. God goes with you. He'll be with you whatever we're facing. And we want you to know that our God is an unshakable God. I want you just for a moment to take your mind back 6 months. Can you do that? Just rewind to New Year's Eve 2019 as the clock struck midnight. 12 o'clock midnight, we shifted from 2019 into 2020. I wonder at that moment what you were thinking would happen in 2020. I wonder what your expectations, your dreams were. I wonder what your goals were. I wonder what you were planning to do. I wonder what all the things that you were thinking would happen in this year 2020. I can guarantee you, you were not expecting what we're seeing right now. We're in the middle of incredible times where we never would have expected that we would be locked up in our homes for 3 months. We never would have expected that there would have been a pandemic that would have swept across the entire world. We would have expected one of the biggest and sharpest economic crashes on record. We wouldn't have expected many of these things. In fact, we never would have expected a year ago that Liverpool would be about to win the Premier League. Yes, these are unprecedented times. These are things that you would only have seen either in long history or in scientific sci-fi movies. And yet these things are happening right now. We're in an incredible moment in human history. And wherever you're at today, you might be looking at things that you once could rely on, and now you're thinking, I don't know if I can rely on those things anymore. It could be your job, it could be familiarity, it could be the journey that you do every day. All of these things have been stripped away, stripped back, taken away, and now we're living in an environment for every one of us that is completely out of the ordinary. Many of the things that we would have put our hope and trust in, they have been taken from us. And we're almost seeing now, asking ourselves deeper questions, because when everything's taken away, when the storms come, we're asking, what is it that we really can truly rely on? What is the foundation of our life? What are the things that we can hold on to when everything else is being removed? What's the things that we can stand firm on that when everything else is shaking in our lives? In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, he leaves with an illustration. And in his illustration is he says, if you hear my word and do what it says, then you are like a builder who builds his house on the rock. The rain pours down and the floods come up. The rain pours down and the floods come up. The rain poured down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. And then he says, but if you hear my words and do not do what it says, same word, different action. if you hear my word but don't do what it says, then you're like a builder who builds his house on the sand. All together now, the rain poured down and the floods came up. The rain poured down and the floods came up. The rain poured down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. Come on, if you've been at Sunday school, you'll know that song. Two builders, one, both hear the word of God, yet one does what it says, the other doesn't. And the difference hearing the voice of God and doing something about it makes in your life is you can today live an unshakable life, not because of your goodness, not because of your strength, not because of your power, but simply because you hear God and you do what he says. This series, Unshakable. We're looking at the unshakable character, nature, and names of God. And today, we're going to look from Genesis chapter 22 at God who reveals himself another way. Last week, we looked at Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. This week, we're looking at Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read from verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there. As a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, as heard the voice of God. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut up enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up. He saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey. We are going to go there and worship, and we will come back. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke up and said to his dad, Abraham, father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went up together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there. He arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and he reached out his hand. He took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead, in substitute for his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, a God who supplies. Today we want you to know, wherever, whoever you are, that you can know a God who supplies. This incredible account in the Bible, right near the start of the Bible, is helping us to understand that our God is a God who will provide for us. He is a God who will supply for us. The Bible says in verse number 2 that God, of Genesis 22, God tested Abraham. Offer your son as an offering. And we know that Abraham took his son, we've just read, and we know that God substituted his son for a lamb, a ram that was caught in the thicket, and he was able to see God's provision in that moment. He was able to experience a God who supplies. The lesson today is not that there is a God who supplies, But the lesson for you today, wherever you're tuning in from, is that you can experience a God who supplies. The question is today is not, is there a God who can supply? The question is, can God supply for me? I want you to know from this story that it shows a God who does supply, but it also shows us that we have a part to play in experiencing a God who supplies. And so the question today is, how can we experience a God who supplies? The first thing from Genesis chapter 22 is that if we want to experience a God who supplies, Jehovah Jireh, then we've got to learn to trust. Learn to trust. In verse number 1 of Genesis 22, the Bible says that God tested Abraham. The original part of this, of the Bible here, was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. And in the original language, this word that we translate as test in the Bible actually described something that was way more than sitting an exam. It was actually about setting us up to experience something of who God was. It was more like coaching and developing something, teasing what's in someone to come out. And so when the Bible says God tested Abraham, it was like God was urging the greatness out of Abraham. God knew who he needed Abraham to be, and so he was coaxing it, coaching it out of Abraham through a test that God knew he could pass. You see, God's tests are not designed to catch you out. God's tests are designed to set you up. God's tests are about setting you up to become the person that God knows you need to become. And so God's test to Abraham was saying, Abraham, I've got growth for you. I've got development for you. I've got a future for you. I want you not just to be father to a son, but father to a generation. And so if you're going to fulfill the promise on your life, then I need you to go through this experience. Not just to know the God who maybe supplies, but to experience for yourself the God who supplies. Abraham learns this test. Peter Drucker, the management and leadership consultant guru, said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. I want to say that experience eats knowledge for lunch. Way better than you knowing a God who can supply is for you, like Josh in the offering we heard, for you to know and experience a God who can supply for you. And you today can experience a God who supplies. But the first thing we've got to do is to learn to trust. Verse 2, God speaks to Abraham. And in verse 3, as soon as Abraham hears the voice, he releases Isaac, his son, from his heart. If you're ever going to release something from your hand, it first has to be released in your heart. What we also now know about Abraham is he, in a sense, knew what God had set him up for. He knew what God had placed in him, because the Bible says that Abraham said to his servants, we're going to go up the mountain to worship, and we're both going to come back down. See, Abraham's great faith, Hebrews tells us, that he knew that even if he did have to slay his son, God was able to resurrect Isaac. And so Abraham knew, I'm going to pass this test. Isaac is going to experience the God who supplies. And we're going to move forward into everything that God has for us, not just because we've known about a God who supplies, but for ourselves, we've experienced a God who supplies. Have you experienced the God who supplies, the Jehovah Jireh, who's able to get to you, not according to your need, Philippians talks about, but according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to get to us, but we've got to learn to trust. Some people hold so tightly to their money It's almost like they're squeezing the queen so hard that she's crying on your £5 note. Some people hold on to their kids so tight that they're squeezing out the exploration of who they're called to be. Some people squeeze their opinion so tight. I've got to hold on to this way of thinking, that they squeeze out more knowledge and wisdom and growth, that maybe they might be wrong. Did I say that? You know, we've got to release in our heart, have an open heart and an open hand if we're going to experience a God who supplies. Proverbs 3 says, trust in your heart, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, logic, reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You see, when we trust God, we don't just know a God who supplies. We experience a God who supplies. The first thing we've got to do today is learn to trust. Second thing is we've got to learn to walk the long walk. See, Abraham walks a very long walk. Between verse 3 and verse 4 are 2 days walking with his son. God has given him this son, which has been its own journey, 25 years of waiting for a promise. He finally sees this son given through his wife, Sarah, and he knows God has said it's through this son, Isaac, that this promise of nations will come about. And now God has said, you're going to have to sacrifice this son. And now Abraham begins to walk this long walk with his son, Isaac. Between God saying, I want you to sacrifice him, and the act of sacrificing in verse 3 and verse 4, 2 days. Can you imagine 48 hours of walking with your son, who God has said, I want to test you. I want you to sacrifice your son. Who knows? This would be the longest walk. But often it's only on the longest walks that we have our greatest lessons. How many would know that during lockdown, that on the 20th of March, I think it was, that this nation, Great Britain, was locked down, and now here we are today on the 347th of March. This is a long walk. But I don't know if you've discovered a few things about yourself and ask yourself some great questions and looked at who you are. And maybe for us, our greatest lessons have for us been in the middle of the longest walk. And it's in this long walk that Abraham is learning who God is. We don't get to know people really, really well with just a quick conversation. We get to know people through walking the long walk. And the way you get to not just know about a God who supplies, but know and experience the God who supplies is by doing the long walk with God. Don't try and microwave up your revelation of God, but put God's word in your heart and let the slow cooking of God do its incredible magic. And as all the things of life knit together and the words of God come together and the people of God come around you and you learn through this long walk, it's in the longest walk the richest lessons are discovered. And God has not just got a quick walk for you. He wants you to commit to the long walk. We've found in our own home, it's the long walk of giving first to God, bringing back what's already his, bringing back the first portion of our finances every month, month in, month out, whether times are good, happy or sad, whatever's going on. We're saying, God, we commit to you first. And we do that over the long haul. It's not like put something into God, put a prayer into God, and out pops an answer. No, but when you commit to the long walk with God, you say, I'm just going to keep stepping. I'm going to keep walking. You find yourself in 15 years, in 20 years, able to look back and go, wow, God, you have taught me so much about who you are. God, you have helped me to experience who you are. God, I've seen you over the long walk, that you were always with me. You were Jehovah Shammah. When I thought nobody was with me, you were there. God, when I felt like I had nothing, God, you proved, as I look back over 15, 20 years, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are a God who supplies. And today I want you to commit not just to the next few weeks or the next couple of months, but I want you to make a decision in your relationship with God to keep walking the long walk in your physical relationships with people. They don't happen with a quick conversation. But when you commit, you covenant, you promise, you pledge yourself to the people that God's put around you, and you walk the long walk together. Yes, you may have times of difficulty, and even you may disagree with some people around you. But you know what you will be able to do when you commit to the long walk? You will grow strong. You will grow mature. You'll experience a God who provides. It's in me doing 20 years of walking with people that God's gifted to me that you discover the richness and depth of personal connection and relationships. You're going to experience your greatest lessons, but they're going to be discovered on the longest walks. Keep committing. Learn to trust. Learn to walk the long walk. And the last thing is simply this. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. In verse 10, it feels like to Abraham, really, God? I heard you say, sacrifice your son that you had promised me. Undoubtedly, you promised me. You'd said it's through this son that this nation's going to be birthed. I believe that with all of my heart. I learned to trust you, God, and I released Isaac in my heart. God, that was a test, surely, and I've been walking this long walk with Isaac. Now my son is asking questions about you, God. And now we're here. How have we got so close where I'm literally with a knife in my hand? It feels like, God, why do you leave it so late to come through? Abraham is here, and his faith is on a knife's edge. And just as he raises the knife and thinks, I guess that's it. Thank God that Abraham had not just learned to trust or learned to walk the long walk, but Abraham had learned to listen. So the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. You imagine the emotion in that moment as he falls over his son Isaac and he says, yes, I hear you. Thank you, God, for speaking. I felt like I was at the end of myself, and I thought this was it. I thought this journey was over. Thank God I've learned to listen. And today we've got to be a church, a people who learn to tune our ears into the voice of God. We learn to listen because today God wants to whisper your name. You may feel like circumstances and physical parts of your life, you're at the end of yourself, but today God is whispering. Would you respond today as simply as Abraham did, say, here I am. Maybe at the end of myself, I may feel like, God, you weren't coming through for me, but God, I've learned, even in lockdown, I'm learning, God, to listen to your voice. Speak to me. God wants to whisper his voice to you today. And as Abraham looks up, he looks over and he sees a lamb in the thicket, caught by its horns. Looks and sees his son on the altar. Everything that Abraham had put on the altar was about to be substituted God wants you to know He's not just a God who supplies. He is the God who is provision for your life. That lamb, the ram that was caught in the thicket, was a type, a shadow, foreshadowing Jesus, who was to substitute Himself for us and to become the ultimate sacrifice. Today, you might say, I can't do this any longer. I don't know what to do. I want you to know today it's okay. Because you come before a God who is your provision, who is your supply, who's given His life for you. All you need to do today is lay down your life, submit, surrender again. Say, God, I don't know what to do. And God says, I'm coming through for you today. Maybe you're watching today and your personal finances, you just don't know whether God's coming through. We're going to pray for you in just a second. Maybe your business, you're just looking ahead with no idea of prospects and not being able to think ahead because you just have way more questions than answers. And today I'm asking, would you begin to learn to trust God? Walk the long walk. Learn to listen. So that you would just not know of a God who supplies, but you would experience the God who is your supply, who is your provision. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray for you where you are today. Whoever you're with, whatever you're carrying, whatever lack may be in your life right now, God is able to supply. God, I just pray for every person at home right now, whoever you brought to these services, God. And I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who supplies. You are the great provider. And we today want to make a decision to learn to trust you. God, we seek you first. We put you first. We learn to trust. And God, we're not just going to wait just a few weeks to see if you come through, but we're going to commit ourselves to you, to walk the long walk with you. The greatest lessons are learned on the longest walks. And so we commit to the long walk. And God, we want to learn to listen to your voice. Even as we're praying right now, speak to people in their homes. Speak to people. Whisper. Put courage in them right now. We thank you, Jesus. Your voice changes everything. Your word is our foundation. We thank you today. We build on the rock of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.